Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and my guest today, Peter Green of Infostar.com. We'll talk with him today about buying tech gifts for the holidays. We'll talk about problems with your computer, and I hope you'll join in our conversation. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And happy holidays to you, Peter Green.
You too, Larry. Always great to be here.
You have some suggestions for gifts for the tech-minded people on our holiday
list is long this year.
Yeah.
There are so many gadgets out there.
Some cool things out there.
Yep. And in my top 10, I've put links up there for places that are great resources for not only looking at guides that give you lists and ideas, just like what I'm going to go over, mm-hmm. but also reviews. And, you know, those are good things. I always encourage people to read the reviews to learn about what other people might suggest mm-hmm. about using a particular item and whether or not it fits for what you're looking for. Because sometimes a review shares something that might say, you know what, this is not quite what I've been looking for, or it's not what I'm buying, the right reason why I'm buying the gift.
A good example of that for me, but a whole different topic, is with something like Epicurious. If you see a recipe, I always look at the comments, because almost always somebody will say, well, I didn't have this, and I substituted this, and it worked just as good, or things like that.
Or cook it at a different temperature because it doesn't harden up and it bleeds.
Yeah, you know, use half as many panko crumbs as that's what they call for.
Or too much sugar and you're going to get a sugar rush.
So you're exactly right. Those comments can be really helpful.
Yeah. And I occasionally do reviews, and I get emails from a website called Fixya. FIXYA.com, and I get from Amazon and a couple others, because people look at the review and then they ask another question, mm-hmm. you know, to see if you can help out. And I think that's a great way that we help each other. It's just invaluable. So anyhow, ideas. Boy, last year Amazon had the Echo. Now they have the Echo Dot, so it's like a little assistant to it. Smart watches, so they call them fitness trackers. So you got smart watches and Fitbit products. If you're into sports or you just want to walk around with a head cam, you got the GoPro. So many different versions out there for that. I mean, look at the head cams that they were using in the football games.
Yeah.
You know, a perfect example of that. I don't think we had that last year.
I don't think so.
You know, watching football games. But this year, they're very active with that. Big TVs. But I caution people, if you're giving a person or purchasing a TV for a gamer, you know, read the reviews about the TVs that you're looking at for that. You know, mm-hmm. in other words, are they buying it to hook it up to a PlayStation or, you know, an Xbox and so forth? Because the refresh rate of the TV might not be fast enough to engage the game, and there might be some lag and disappointment. So, you know, that's a really good reason why to read the reviews, and you'll understand more about a TV matching, you know, a gamer's needs. Laptops, they're all over the place as far as costs. So, you know, if you've got a young teenager at home that you're looking at, first-time laptop, you know, you don't want to make a huge investment. You know, that's something to consider. You've got all the internet streaming devices, the Roku, Google has got theirs, Fire Stick, Apple TV. Those are all different things to look at. And then a great way to make purchases from some of the major manufacturers is look at the factory recertified products that they're putting out there for resale and save lots of money that way.
You mentioned Fire Stick, and Lori in Beaver Dam has a comment or question about that. So let's just go there. Lori, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question has to do with streaming movies. I have a Samsung Smart TV, and then I also have a MacBook Pro and an iPad.
Okay.
And I wanted to know two things. What, if you could explain what an Amazon Fire Stick is compared to a Roku? And secondly, isn't there a way I should be able to watch, stream from my laptop, and then watch it on my big screen TV?
Okay.
Okay, boy, a lot of questions there around the same thing. Streaming internet, if you want to call them channels, like Amazon has Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. There's Netflix. Google has theirs. Apple has theirs. Number one, you have to make sure that you have good internet speed. So if you're hooked up with like cable, broadband, and you've got high speed access, then you're going to be satisfied with the outcome. If you start streaming by Wi-Fi, you know, you need to make sure that your Wi-Fi connectivity is good, because again, that's where you get a break in the, you can get yeah. a break in the signal, and it affects the content. As far as, you know, I haven't used all of them, but, you know, if you look at something like Roku's claim to fame is that they can connect even the old school TVs to the internet because of their different connectivity, like using RCA jacks, mm-hmm. whereas all these others are relying on HDMI and USB connectivity. Some of the Rokus, you don't need that. Some of the Rokus don't have the high definition as much as the earlier ones don't have the high definition capability
yeah.
to connect.
So what is it really doing when the Roku? It's taking information.
Well, it's
in its most
basic. Like adding a Wi-Fi card to your TV if it's not smart. If the TV is smart, then that means it has the internet connection capability, and usually it has a built-in web browser, so it might come with Google Chrome or Opera mm-hmm. or some browser that would allow you to actually just browse the internet on that TV. So as far as you know, streaming shows, one is to use the TV as a smart TV. You could download apps. You could use it as a big computer.
Mm-hmm.
But just on the internet.
Yeah.
The other is to stream movies through like Netflix or Amazon Prime, and you're just going onto their port mm-hmm. and picking from what they have available and then streaming that content to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being able to share, so like from a laptop, I know I was at a friend's house, and with Netflix, I'm not sure how many connections they allow you to have, but you could stream it to your iPad, you could stream it to your Mac or PC, or you could stream it to your laptop. There's a limit to how many connections you're allowed to do that with. But to be able to stream something that's coming in from your laptop, if you wanted to hook it up to the TV as like another connection,
yeah.
you'd probably have to be cabled up to it in order to.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you're looking at your laptop, you're streaming the content to your laptop, but in order to project it on a larger screen, you would have to be cabled to that.
Okay, you need a cable for that. So what is the Amazon Fire Stick does the same?
It's just bringing in their content.
Yeah,
their port of.
Okay.
Content. Google has their content, and then they add, enhance it with, I think Crackle is one, and there are a number of other information providers or streamers out there, and they just give you menu access where you can just pick and choose which one you want to use.
There we go. Hey, Lori, does that help?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yep, good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Tom in Wanakee's getting a new laptop and would like to know what's the differences are between the operating system he's using now, Windows 7, and the new one, Windows 10. Any suggestions? Is it an easy transition?
It's a pretty easy transition. Windows 10 likes to use, well, it started with 8 where they call them tiles. But it's you can change the interface to it if you want to. But it's 10 is a lot better than 8. So if you're making the transition from 7 to 10, you should feel pretty comfortable with it.
Okay. Well, you got another idea or two before we get Robert and Mary who have questions for you, but another gift item before we go there?
Well, there's always the easy ones, you know, just ask, you know,
yeah.
you know what do you need? And, you know, sometimes they'll tell you, oh, I'd really like to have a wireless keyboard and mouse. There are a lot of options for those. In fact, trying to find a hardwired keyboard is
getting harder.
It's getting harder and harder.
Okay.
Might be end up in the Smithsonian.
Oh, man. Robert in Milwaukee, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. My question is about password managers. I understand the hype about how convenient they are to use, but my question is about how trustworthy are they?
Mm-hmm.
I like to use my formula, which is have, you know, the ones in my, the ones that I like to use in what I call my password stable, so that I just interchange them and it eliminates guessing. But if you're not comfortable with that, there are some good password managers out there. The way I would go about finding the best ones is there are a couple of really good websites, PC Magazine or PCMag.com. CDNet or CNET, CNET.com. And you can look up, I think, ZDNet or Ziff Davis reviews. Those are really good sites that have reviews of those kind of products. I like to keep it simple so that if I'm out on the road and I'm traveling, I'm not going to have a password manager with me, and it's going to make it a lot easier for me to access, you know, the online things that I need to have access to. So that's where I feel those things fall short, because you don't really take them with you.
Yeah.
Unless you're, I mean, if you're traveling abroad, you know, for me, I'll take an iPad, but the days of taking a laptop along are pretty,
yeah,
pretty slim.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty removed.
There we go. Mary and Kadat, up to you now. Hi, Mary.
It's me. Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about getting pictures off my XP and my 98 to run on my Windows 7.
Okay.
Operating system. How would I go about that?
Okay. Do you have internet connectivity with those machines or not?
Pardon?
Can you connect to the internet? Do you have access to, like, email? And
with those old machines.
Oh, yes.
You
yes.
do?
Yep.
Okay. What you could do is, do you have a Google account by any chance?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, one of the easiest things to do is if you do have access to the internet with older machines, what you could do is go to Google and click on their Gmail and set up a Gmail account, and then that'll give you access to their Google Drive. And they give you, I forgot the amount of gigabytes of space. I think it's like
a lot.
5, 10, maybe 15 gigabytes of space. And you can simply, if you have a decent internet connection, you can transfer those files to the cloud, to their G Drive. And then just move them and then copy them. You know, you could create your own folders in that G Drive. So it's just like having hard drive space. And you can create folders, name them, whatever you want. And just copy the files that way. Another alternative would be to get an external hard drive or a USB thumb drive if you have a USB port on those machines. However, you have to make sure that the USB devices that you're looking at hooking up to those go back to probably USB 1.0 compatibility. Because that's the beginning of Windows 98 and XP. That's kind of like the beginning time of when those things started coming about. But the hardware may not be there. In other words, you may not have a USB connection on it.
The easiest would probably be to go to Google.
Yeah.
Because you can you get instructions on how to do it.
Yeah, all that's free, too. The Google Gmail is free. The Google, their Drive is free. And you have you create your own password access to it, so it's your space.
So it's a copy and paste once I get to Google?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy.
Yep.
Okay.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling.
Well, we've had people call in where they didn't have that luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, how do I get it off? Well, I have internet access, but You know, it's not very fast. Another alternative would be to email the stuff, you know, zip the files down, you know, to compress them. So you could use WinZip or WinRAR, which are utilities out there to compress files. And then you would email them to yourself. But that it would take time to do that. But if you have a decent internet connection speed, using Gmail and the and their drive space is a great solution.
Yep. Good luck, Mary. Thank you so much for calling. Peter Green, our guest today, computer consultant with Infostar.com. Our guest here on the Ideas Network, I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our online producer. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn speaks with Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett about job creation in the city's North Side neighborhoods. That's at 2. Right now, taking a look at personal computers, tech gifts, problems with your computers with Peter Green of Infostar.com. I'm Larry Mueller. Join in, 800-642-1234, the number to call, or email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Connor in La Crosse next. Hi, Connor. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. Great to be on.
What's on your mind today?
So recently a caller called in asking about connecting her Apple products to her TV.
Yeah.
So I have a MacBook, I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, and I all connect it through the Apple TV.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, they have the AirPlay feature, and I've used that a couple different times, and I really like the feature that it has, and I just want to let that user know or that caller that that option was out there, and I think that'd be a good alternative, too, if she didn't have the cable for it.
Yeah, that makes good
sense.
Great.
Yeah, I don't think I don't have Apple TV. I don't know if you do, Larry.
No.
So that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, thanks, Connor. Appreciate
it. It's nice that they thought of that, too.
Yeah, it's very nice. Thanks for calling. John in Marshfield, up to you now. Hi, John.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Question for both of you. The hardware is Apple, Mac.
Okay.
And I was working on Facebook last week, and periodically I'd get a pop-up saying, we noted you a virus. You noted a virus. Well, I shut her down, and this Saturday morning I booted up the Mac, and you see the Apple come on, and the Whirly, and all of a sudden, a pink screen. Nothing else.
The screen is a pink color, and that's it.
That's it. The whole computer's inoperative. Have you heard about a new virus that's called the Pink Lady?
No.
No.
Oof.
Why, is that what it is?
It has to be a virus. It just, I'm sitting in space working on my naughty list, and I can't even use the Mac anymore.
So you've and you've turned it off and turned it back on again.
Oh, yeah. Unplugged it and the whole works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nuts.
I mean, have you done any online research as related to, you know, the symptoms, the things that you're pointing out?
Peter, the computer doesn't work, and that's the only one I have.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would have to, you know...
I think that what you're probably going to have to do with that one is take it in. You're in Marshfield.
Right.
Yeah.
But the question is, I just called
to see
if you've heard of that.
I haven't heard of any. I haven't heard of that one where the screen turns pink.
No.
Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, I would take it into a. What have you got? Have you got a. Not a Mac. It's. Oh, you do have a Mac.
Yeah, Mac. Mm-hmm.
I take it. There's a Mac store in Marshfield, isn't there?
Nope.
I'd take it.
There's one in Wausau. Mm-hmm.
I'd be tempted to take it in.
Okay. Well, I just called in with that bit of information. Have a happy holiday.
To you as well. Thanks a lot for calling. Darn.
Yeah, those kind of things can be frustrating. Sometimes, you know, when you do online research as related to what's going on, if you have access to another computer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are instructions out there
to
deal with it. Obviously, something has inserted itself in the startup process of the computer, and it's how do you get that out of there?
And if you've got
that's in fact
if you got a smartphone, you can go use your smartphone to look that up. If John probably doesn't have a, may not have a smartphone, but if he had a smartphone, he could look that up.
Right.
Yeah, there we go. Well, good luck, John. I'm sorry.
It's intriguing. I'll take a look at that after, because I'm curious. I've never heard.
I haven't heard of that one either. Bill in Eau Claire up next. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. Larry, I want to thank you for all of your shows. I enjoy all of them.
Thank you.
I have a Dell desktop computer at home. I'm running the Vista system. And recently, I have had a problem downloading the Microsoft updates that I get automatically. I have tried it three times now. I left the computer on for 2 days the first time, 3 days the next time, and it just keeps, looks like it's downloading, but nothing ever happens. I have gone to the settings and have it doing it manual or automatically, and I tried it again yesterday, and I left it on all day and all night and this morning, and still nothing.
When you restart the computer, do you have access to using it, or is it just, you know, locked into trying to do a download for an update?
Oh, no, I can still use the computer.
Mm-hmm.
It just won't.
And you said it's Windows Vista?
Yes.
And are you trying to change it over to Windows 10 or just to continue to update Windows Vista?
Continue to update Windows Vista.
Okay.
And up until now, it has been fine.
Yeah, Microsoft is doing a number of things as related to updating their computers. They've changed some policies. I'm not sure of the status in terms of how much longer, if in fact the updates are really still out there for Vista. You may want to do some research on that and see.
There might not be any updates anymore.
Well, there might not be, or they may. Sometimes they do make mistakes. I've had Microsoft updates have issues with a variety of different computer configurations where they just simply will not take them. And
each 3 times I've tried, the Windows says that there are 5 important updates.
Right.
So I pushed the start button, and the green thing goes across, but nothing ever downloads.
Yeah. What you can do is go into the Windows update and write down the numbers for each one of those updates, and then try to selectively do one and then the next one instead of picking them all at the same time. There might be an issue with just doing
with
them
one of
all,
them.
With one of them and then trying to do them all together. It just has a hiccup and just
I try one,
spins.
And if there's a problem with it, then I try a different one, but because it might be just one.
But by writing down each one, you can research each one and see if there are known issues out there with doing the updates.
Because, very good.
Because that is, in fact, the case with a lot of Windows updates. There are issues out there, and there have been for many years. I think I've told the story where my son called me and said that I just did a Windows update, and I could no longer use the computer just as an endless reboot. And it was from an app, a Windows update on the laptop.
Oh, wonderful.
So it does happen.
Good luck, Bill.
All right, thank you very much for your help.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. We had an email from Mike in New Berlin. He's using Yahoo Mail, and many times as he's typing, Yahoo Mail will mix up the letters and punctuations. The periods, commas, spaces, and capital letters will be delayed and displayed after the letters are displayed. What's going on with that?
The only thing I could think of is if it's dealing with a laptop, then maybe going in and changing Windows has got settings you can change as related to, I believe it's the speed of the mouse. Not so sure about the keyboard, but maybe on a desktop in terms of, like a disability setting.
Yeah.
And see if you can play with, there's something out of sync with Yahoo, if it's only Yahoo, and maybe just simply slowing it down might help.
No.
If it's a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse with a desktop, is maybe just changing the batteries and seeing if boosting up the strength
will help it.
Makes it
sure.
better.
Yeah. Worth
Sometimes a weak battery, weak power supplies cause equipment things to just act weird.
Yeah. I will turn. Oh, yeah, I had a new mouse and wireless one, and had it. I left it on overnight, and it was dead. The first
time.
The battery was dead to be. You know, it was just a bad battery to begin with.
Was it the first battery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those are sitting on the shelf, so
a long time. Yeah.
The other thing is to simply do an online search and see if you're not alone.
Yeah. You know. Switch the battery out, and now I try to remember to turn it off. But even if I forget and it's on for 3 or 4 days, the new battery's just fine.
Time for a new mouse, new Christmas present.
Gary in Rice Lake. Hello, Gary.
Hello. Hi. I've got two quick questions, which are going to seem simple to you, but they're driving me crazy. The first is the program that stores my password somehow got corrupted, and it added a space between two letters. And each time that I write the password, it, of course, does that. And I've got to go in and reduce the space. It's just annoying. How do I get rid of that?
So go back to being, where is this coming from? And
well, every time that I put my password in for email, it has been... It has been corrupted, so it gives a false password.
What are you using for email?
Yahoo.
Yahoo. You probably go into, once you log into your account, go into preferences.
Yep.
And just change the password and save it.
That's the easiest.
That would be the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay,
if you're telling me when you're going online for using Yahoo email,
right?
Are you typing in the password or do you have it?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And even if I type it in, it goes
makes that
back.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes the space.
Yeah. So I would just go into Yahoo preferences and change the email.
Okay. Fine.
Yep.
The second question is, I'm really having a problem getting pictures from my Android cell phone into my MacBook Pro. Android cell phone is version 5. MacBook Pro is version OS 10.9. The only way I can do it now is to email from my cell phone to my computer and then get the pictures in. I know there's an easier way. I have Dropbox on there, and I have Android File Transfer. How do I get pictures easily from my phone to my computer?
Yeah.
I do a lot with like what you're doing, where you email them to yourself, occasionally text them, things like that. You could cable it up to the computer. Depends on which phone you have. They make available apps to allow you to interface your smartphone to your Mac through the USB port.
I don't have a smartphone. I have an LG phone with an Android system.
Okay.
That makes it harder.
They have Android. They have apps for the Mac, so you cable up your phone to the Mac, and then you use the app on your Mac to sync up with your phone.
Do it that way.
And grab the pictures off
of
your phone.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
That sounds easy. Thank you very much.
So, in other words, when you cable up your phone, because it's probably got a USB connection on one end of them, one end of the cable that you use for your phone to charge it.
Yes.
Okay. So you use that to interface to your Mac, and it'll see it, but you need an Android app on the Mac so it will see and recognize the phone as a device.
Okay.
That's good. What you do. All right.
Yep. Good luck.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. We have, Lance on Facebook wants to play the sound from an older desktop PC to Bluetooth speakers. He wants to know if there's an add-on device that can help him do this. So he's got an older desktop PC. He wants to play it on Bluetooth speakers.
There is, if you have a USB port, there's what's called a dongle. A USB dongle. They can be had off of eBay for very inexpensive. I think like less than $2 from China. Oh. Probably $3 from the U.S., or maybe you can even buy two of them. So that adds the ability to have Bluetooth on a desktop. And I'm pretty sure you're going to have to find an application or software that will allow you to manage the Bluetooth on your desktop. Mm-hmm. And then you can connect the devices with that dongle with the speaker.
So like D-O-N-G-L-E,
yep.
Dongle?
Mm-hmm.
Type that into your
yep.
search engine and it'll pop up probably yep. with instructions.
Yep.
There we go.
I've played with it. I haven't done a ton with it, but that's
I like the name.
Because it's Bluetooth. If you ever watch some of these TV shows, you know, where they're like, oh, we can listen in on their phone or we can
yeah.
see what they're doing, but they have to be within 30 feet, you know, and they're using Bluetooth to attach to it. So the phone's got the Bluetooth and their laptops have the Bluetooth. But if the desktop doesn't have the Bluetooth, you're giving it that ability through that little tiny, it's like almost like a half moon, little black half moon that plugs into the USB.
The dongle.
Yep. So I could see a show where we got to get that dongle onto his desktop.
Oh, man. Tom in Wanakee. Hi, thanks for calling.
Good morning. I have a question about wiping hard drives. I've got an old, couple old XP computers, and I want to get rid of them, but I want to make sure they don't have any of our personal data on it.
Sure.
Does Peter have recommendations for it? Other than, I've thought about taking the hard drive out. I read some articles, and they said, the only area you're really going to be sure is take the hard drive out and drill holes in it, but I'm not ready to do that.
Do you want to make it so that it could be used in the future, or you just want to?
Well, if an XP has is there a use for XP somewhere? I mean, I'd gladly give it away. I've given one.
There might be some airlines out there that might.
Yeah. Well, half your ATMs are still operating on it, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. When I've traveled abroad and I've seen some of the computer systems at the airport that are being used.
I think the FBI is actually going to transition to XP one of these days.
So. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What you can do, there's a utility, and you can look it up online. It's called because it's XP, it's called F-Disk, F, so Frank, mm-hmm. D-I-S-K.
Okay.
And you could just simply repartition that hard drive, you know, several times. So you're basically garbling it up. And it could be reused, but if you do it, you know, 3-4 times, the information's going to be so garbled up, you know, it would take quite a forensic Einstein to, you know, get a few words off of it.
Sure.
So okay. That's if you want to keep it useful. If you don't, and you want to go through the effort just simply taking them out, and, you know, if you want to see what the hard drive looks like and unscrew it once you open it up and it's exposed to air, that's why they talk about having clean rooms for working on hard drives, because if there's any impurities and it gets, you know, inside that, it basically renders the drive useless.
Oh, my garage will work good for that. So, hey, Peter, I just comment. Your earlier suggestion about transferring email to Gmail, uh-huh. as far, you know, whatever, I've had to back up emails when changing you know, from Outlook to maybe Live Mail, that type of thing.
Yep.
And you got to go through. It's, you can do it, and it's easy enough, but it's pretty laborious and whatever. Your Gmail suggestion sounds great, and I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes good sense.
Yeah, good luck. It's, you know, when you look at what Google puts out there, and, you know, we talk about the Google Gmail and their Drive, but there's so many other things that they have out there. available that are free, which is, when you think about it, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of email that I need to keep, I want to keep, and that sounds like a great way to back it up rather than on, I've got an external hard drive, but again, it's pretty, it can get kind of complicated.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again.
Yep. Yeah, thanks. Luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Lucy and Jefferson, your turn. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a message on my computer over the weekend, and I'm a little afraid of it. It's a message from the McAfee Web Advisor,
okay.
Which is, I do have McAfee, and it tells me, warning, trouble ahead, and then it says, whoa, are you sure you want to go there? And it gives my credit union address, mm-hmm. and it says maybe risky to visit. And why are you seeing this? When we visited this site, we found it exhibited one or more risky behaviors. Hmm. And I'm not too sure what I should do. I called the bank this morning, and they said that they weren't aware of anything coming from them.
When you say this is a pop-up, is it in your email? Is it on your web browser? Is
it's
it just
on
part
the web.
Of...
It's on the web.
On the web?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you see the web address for...
Yes. It says siteadvisor.com.
Mm-hmm.
It has the little McAfee sign.
Okay.
And siteadvisor.com.
Well...
Restricted HTML ? Domain.
I'd go back and look at the address.
Uh-huh.
The address may be just one little thing off, and it may be a scam.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if it was a scam.
If you can find the actual address.
I shouldn't click on that one up there?
I wouldn't click on that one until I found...
Okay, where would I find the McAfee address? I looked through my papers, and of course I don't have my receipt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I put it on the computer, so
well,
I'm not
I think
sure.
If you would search for McAfee, you'd probably find McAfee.com.
Okay.
But I don't know about their products as related to what they're using for their addresses. But there are some very creative scam artists out there that I know. This was years ago, where if you were just off on misspelling a website.
You got the scam.
You got to a bad website that potentially was trying to hack your system. So
we were just talking about that last week with folks from Consumer Protection.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of those popping up at this time of year, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. So it'd be worth checking that out for sure.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, if they're warning you about your bank and you've made the call to your bank.
Yeah.
You're going to the bank's website or the credit union and logging on through their password access. Probably the most important thing that I would be pay attention to is when you log on to your bank account, just make sure everything looks normal. That it looks like your accounts are fine and nothing's been compromised.
If you click on that one and you don't know and it happens to be a scam, then they can put a something into your computer to kind of read where you're clicking and where you're going to. And this has happened to people where they've lost money out of their accounts.
Yeah. The other thing is go in your McAfee application is to try and run an update on it and also make sure that it's current. Because
mm-hmm.
On systems that have been compromised, usually they take those out so that you can't run an update on it.
Yeah.
The scam takes the system out, or McAfee does?
The scam or potential, harmful thing to your system.
Because I did go to, and I checked the McAfee, and everything said everything was okay.
Everything is current? Okay,
yeah.
That's good. But I'm saying, it's a good thing to manually just go into McAfee, look at the options. and say you want to run the update, and if it comes back and says it's all current, then that's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. So don't click. I would just delete that. Mm-hmm. That I mean, if it was me, that's what I'd do.
Yep.
There you go, Lucy. Thank you so much for calling. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today as we take a look at consumer issues. And also, you know, if you've got a question about a tech gift, you can post that in as well at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Antonio in Green Bay up next. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry and Peter.
Hi.
Generally, I can resolve my issues between help from the web I get and help from I got from Peter in the past. And thanks for making a genius out of me. But this time, here's what happened. I am using ad blocker on my Firefox and Google, which blocks everything to do with Donald Trump. Yet, because I am the original AOL subscriber, every time I open my AOL mail, I open up its opening page with just bombards me with Donald Trump news, which I am totally sick of. I am looking for a blocker for Windows Explorer, but because I block them on Firefox and Google, I can't find no information whatsoever. So, is there anything available for Explorer where I can block certain news footage?
Yeah. That's a tricky one.
I'd probably turn off the blocker on Firefox and try and do a search and see what you could come up. So you're still using AOL?
Unfortunately, yes. I've been one of the original members, and I have been using it since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know a lot of people have transitioned to Google Gmail that had been using AOL. So I'm even surprised AOL email is still actually out there.
Actually, I did create a Gmail account, mm-hmm. thinking that this might be only way I can get rid of it.
Well, this might be the right time for the exit strategy from AOL email, so that you've got the other one solved.
Yes, I do have a Gmail account. I have created it because I'm totally sick of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, seeing 5-6 times the same person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to act like a bigot, but okay.
Yeah, so the other option is I think AOL's got ad blocker capability. If it doesn't, what are you using to access? You're using Windows Explorer to access the AOL. There's probably a number of them out there. If you go to downloads.com or tucows.com, there are probably some free ad blockers out there for helping you deal with AOL with Windows Explorer.
Yeah. Gmail would be the easier probably way.
Yeah, it would just shut it down because...
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a nice holiday.
Yeah, you as well. Too. Thank you for calling.
I know I've had to let go some of the older technologies.
It's hard to do. You get so used to it.
Yeah, you know, I used to like using Outlook Express,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I had to let it go.
Yeah, I know. Chris in Medford, hello. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Earlier in the program, you mentioned a possible Christmas gift of a wireless laptop or wireless keyboard or mm-hmm. mouse.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought, I would never buy another wireless mouse. So that made me think maybe I should call and ask. I've had the wireless mouse for maybe 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. I'm on my second laptop that I've used it with. Mm-hmm. The first one was a Toshiba. This one's a Dell. But it never has been as responsive as one that you plug in.
Right.
And
I'm not going to argue with you.
Is it the type of mouse I have, mm-hmm. or should I change the battery from an alkaline to a lithium, or is that just the response that's typical?
The hardwired mice work better. So, like I was going to say, I'm not going to argue with you. I like the wired mice, but when you start eliminating the wires from the desktop, it is a nice feeling to not have those things in the way. There are more sensitive mice, and you can make adjustments to the responsiveness of it using the software that comes with it. And it's even built into the operating system. It's built into Windows. I haven't played much with my settings on my Mac, but there are changes that you can make to the responsiveness of it and what the cursor looks like and whether or not it has a ghosting feature so it, you know, moves a little slower across your screen. So there are tweaks that you can do to it.
Okay.
As far as the battery and the type of battery, I don't think that's going to have any effect. It might have an effect on the longevity in terms of how long a battery might last, but I don't think it's going to have any effect on the, you know, any other feature that the mouse might have.
Literally, I often work with Photoshop, mm-hmm. and I've learned to just use the touchpad on the laptop because of the way the mouse responds, but I will look into about the software and see...
Yeah.
If I can figure something out there.
Yeah, that might be worth a look.
Thanks.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for calling.
The other thing is when you look for a new mouse is go to some of those tech gadget sites that I have listed in my top 10. There's CNET.com, Computer Shopper, PCMag.com, and there are a number of others out there. I think there's like Tom's Hardware. All those sites are going to have reviews of different mice and different features, and you might find one for the next time that you get a mouse, you might find one that actually works a lot better.
Yeah, and they're not that expensive.
I think you can buy some of these for like $15 to $20 on sale. I know quite often Staples, Best Buy, they all have specials. Office Depot.
Yeah.
You know.
Worth a look anyway. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Yep. Good luck.
Brian in Ashland, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
So I have a comment about the guy that had the pink screen of death.
Yeah.
Yep.
What I've done in the past when I've got viruses on my desktops or laptops, there's... The local colleges in the technology department, you know, where they're training the kids how to be computer software analysts or what have you, what they actually take your computer and fix it for free because they use it for like a test dummy or for training purposes. So they're very happy to get in these computers that are all virused up. And they, like I said, they do it for completely for free. So that might be something that caller would look into prior to going and actually paying to have somebody do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, and I think there's either a tech school or I can't remember if there's a regional campus.
I know one's around here, but I don't know one near Marshfield.
UW-Marshfield. Seems like there may be something up there, or it's nearby for sure. For sure. Yeah, good suggestion, Brian. Thank you. Let's go to Ann in Milwaukee. Hi, Ann.
Good morning. I am looking for suggestions for photo sharing websites. I have about 10 gigabytes of photos from a trip that are currently in Google Photos, in the cloud, and on my Samsung phone. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking for suggestions that would hopefully be no-cost photo sharing websites. Mm-hmm. That are easy to use for both me and for those that I want to share the photos with.
Sure.
Well, you know you can share the stuff that you have in your Google Drive with links.
Okay.
So you can send somebody a link to a folder and just say, here they are, and just share it by link.
Okay.
So that's one easy way to do it, you know, with right out of the gate.
I think there's one on acpress.com. If you go there, the guy that runs that is on my show once in a while, and he has some free ones that, you know, be worth a look, too, just acpress.com.
I know I've mentioned a number of them on the air over the years. What you're dealing with is the size limit where you said you had like 10 gigabytes of photos. So what you might want to do is do a search online and see what the free ones will probably offer you, you know, for a fee to up it in terms of the size. But I think the easiest way for you is if you have things organized in folders and you already have them in your Google G Drive, is you can share them to whoever you want by just sharing a link to that folder.
Oh, sure.
So you're not paying for it now, and then you don't have to move those pictures.
Excellent.
That's a good idea.
So if you already have them organized, but you just want to share them.
Not yet, but they will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's the way to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah, yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have Beverly on Facebook says the listener with the Mac should call Apple and a service rep and walk him through it. So that's another suggestion on that.
Yep.
Ken emailed to say he uses a device from Action Tech called Screen Beam Mini 2. Screen Beam Mini 2. That wirelessly connects a Windows 8 or 10 computer to a large screen TV home port. The TV becomes a wireless display with sound.
You know, I forgot. I actually have one of those. I haven't used it in a long time, but he's right.
Action Tech.
You can use your phone. You can do it with your phone, too.
All right.
Yep.
So another good tip, and we have some news tips coming up. We'll be back with Pete in just a few minutes. Stay with us. Taking a look at personal computers today, your personal computer, with Peter Green of Infostar.com. I'm Larry Mueller. So great to have you along today. Our lines are all filled. The number is 800-642-1234. Pete, at this time of the show, we always take a look at the top 10 list. You're searching around and finding 10 sites to go to, and what have you got for us today?
So if you go to Infostar.com, on the top left, you've got the top 10 archives. You would scroll down to today's date or just click on the current top 10. The first one is TravelAdvisoryWarnings.com, and it's a text-based hyperlinked list of everything that's out there, and it's well-organized. Number two is you've got Any Anxieties, anxieties.com. is a web resource from a professor from the Anxiety Disorders Treatment Center of North Carolina. The next one is from the National Football League, and it's called PlaySmartPlaySafe.com, and it's a resource that focuses on player safety. And, you know, I just remember talking to a friend's son of mine that was playing high school football, and he said, who wants to get in front of those helmets that weigh, I don't know, 10-plus pounds and getting punched by one of those?
Mm.
Well, I just hope they keep working on the player safety on that. I play hockey, and, you know, I can't imagine getting hit by those things. Number four, Theater Mania is a web resource for checking out Broadway tickets off-Broadway and theater tickets across the U.S., and, of course, if you're looking at Broadway stuff, Broadway.com is also a good resource to check out. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC.gov, great resource. And they post lots of articles about all the different effects of disease and a variety of other things that have an effect on our lifestyle. Number six is a weblog that was started in 2009. It's called childhood101.com, and it's got hundreds of play ideas and parenting articles. And because of that one, which I thought was a well-done web blog, I put up a resource for number seven, which is called Blogger, and there are a couple of others. And Blogger, by the way, is owned by Google.
Mm-hmm.
It was purchased years ago by Google. Is a resource to create or start your own web blog, which is basically, if you're passionate about something and you want to write and inform other people about it, these are resources that you can use to do, and they're free.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight is called TuneIn.com, and they have a free app that you can use, download, and allows you to listen to over 100,000 live radio stations over the internet. Number nine is usmagazine.com. So that's a lot of online entertainment and reading. And number 10 is the resources that I mentioned earlier, CNET.com, and there's PC Mag, Computer Shopper, and Gadget. So if you're looking for gift ideas,
that's a good place to go.
Just go to their site and type in holiday guide or holiday gifts, and you'll find lots of them.
And all those at Infostar.com.
Yep.
All right. There we go. Let's go to Edie in Heartland next. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, it's Edie, but at the timing is just perfect. My computer just shut itself off because I hadn't used it for so long, but I'll try to explain what's going on. I wasn't going to call because, first of all, I used Vista, and I thought it was too old, but I heard other people use Vista, too. I've never been able to get a complete backup, and I have Windows 7 to install, but I've always been afraid to install it because I don't have a complete backup. Was hoping to read you the code. It gives me a resource code as to what I should check because it's in use. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yes, and what I usually do is I search to see what the latest solutions are to deal with that. If you're trying to get a backup of your Vista so then you can do an upgrade to it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're trying to back up things like your email.
I'm mainly trying to let the computer do the backup itself. I just set it, to do a complete backup automatically, from Microsoft.
Okay. Well, a good thing to do is to actually know what you're trying to back up. So if it's your email, whether the email is based on your computer or it's in the cloud. So, for example, Gmail is in the cloud.
Okay.
So there's really nothing to back up there. If you're using Outlook or Windows Live Mail, then that mail resides on your computer, and there are certain files that you need to back up. If you're trying to back up pictures, the pictures are usually stored in a certain location. Videos are stored in a certain location. If you're using it for accounting, if you're using it, the software on your computer for certain purposes, those data files are located in certain folders on your computer. To say that you're allowing the operating system to do a complete backup, it's still prudent to know where those files reside, your data files, what you're using your computer for, so that when you actually need to restore them, you can go grab them from where they're located. And they're easily, you can identify and know where they are, where they belong. To trust the computer and say, hey, you're doing a complete backup, is not, to me, it's not assuring that I know that it's doing everything that I really want it to do.
Okay, so if I need to do every partition by itself separately.
Well, it's just a good thing to know where those files are. So just give me a couple examples of what are you using the computer for.
You got photos?
I've got everything, yes. I've got photos. I've got all my passwords set up. I've got, a thing called Open Office or something like that.
Okay.
I've used tons of things on there.
So you have documents?
I have documents,
things you've written and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you go into an application, it has settings in it, preferences, where those files are located. So you should make sure you know where those files are. So then when you're going to do a backup with, you said you were trying to use Windows Vista to do a backup and it was failing on you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What you can do is download some programs out there. I put a link to it on my website. One that I use that has like a 30-day free trial is called Macrium. It's spelled Macrium. There are others out there, so you can do a search on backup programs.
Okay.
And then when you download and install the backup program, you can point it to all the locations of where those files are, for photos, for documents, and then just back those up.
So in other words, you've got to be hands-on while it's doing the backup. You just can't walk away and do something.
Right, exactly.
That's what I've been trying to do. I'm trying to let the computer do the work,
right.
because I'm not unhappy with Vista because once you get used to it, it's not bad. People hated it, but it really wasn't bad. Nothing like Windows 8, you know. Mm-hmm. So my son went from 7 my son had XP, mm-hmm. and, you know, now he's got 10, so I can't get to 10 until I get to 7.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
I can skip a couple of steps, but not that many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to lose everything. And mm-hmm. I've tried putting it all to the DVDs or the CDs, and it takes like 8, and I'm still not done.
Yeah.
That's how much is on this little bitty computer.
Yeah. You can get if you purchase an external hard drive that hooks up to the USB port, they sell them like 500 gig or a terabyte. And most of them usually come with some kind of backup program on them.
You just answered the question. My next question. Uh-huh. I was going to say, I have Seagate on the other computer, and I just love it.
Uh-huh.
And should I just buy one of those for this and have it over and done with, because it's a hard drive and it's a backup?
Sure.
Yeah.
That would be a good...
Yeah, that was my other question, is just skip that and go to get the... They helped me fix one that was out of warranty. They were mm-hmm. that nice about it.
Yeah.
It got stuck, you know, and he says, oh, we'll get it.
And I think they... Some of them, even when they sell the hard drive, they even have, I think Seagate even gives you some free space in the cloud as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've got Gmail, so, you know, I've got that too, so that's in cloud, mm-hmm. but I've also got Yahoo. I've been working on computers longer than most people have been alive. So.
Well, Edie, good luck, and thanks a lot for calling.
All right, thank you. I'm glad I got through. Bye.
Bye-bye. Suzanne in Onalaska, it's your turn now. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Good. Thank you. I like your program.
Thank you.
Very informational. All I need is a gift idea or a name of a quick charge for cell phone. Universal, something like between $25 and $30 or less.
So when you say universal charger?
Something I'm not sure if all the jacks fit into... you know, your different iPhones and things like that fit into the chargers.
Larry's trying to show me something.
I've got a charger that's attached to the, it's an external charger, and it's attached to the, it envelops the phone.
So it's almost like a partial case?
It's a case, and it's not a partial case. It's a full case. You can drop it in 10 feet of water, and it won't.
The phone is still good.
Phone's still good. Mm-hmm. I've dropped it about 5 feet,
mm-hmm.
and it also shock absorber. So this one, you plug it in. It's heavier,
mm-hmm.
but you plug it in the evening, and it plugs both the it charges both the phone and the external charger.
So an external battery. So
an external battery.
You're getting a boost.
Yeah, and then when you, if your battery runs dry on your phone,
mm-hmm.
you just press a button in the back mm-hmm. of the case, and it charges the phone.
Hmm. Yeah, it looks pretty slick.
Yeah, it's.
It doesn't look that much bigger.
No,
a little bit, but
it's a little heavier, but you get used to it. So anyway, that's one.
So that's one suggestion, is like a power pack with another charging option.
Yeah, this would be for like a high schooler, you know, mm-hmm. a quick charge on a dry phone going, you know, mm-hmm. low on battery.
Right.
That they don't have access to, you know, to plug in to
eliminate
their phone.
Know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So you have access to online?
Yes.
I would probably go, the two sites I'd probably go to would be CNET and Gadget. Those cater to those kind of things. And you might be able, if you know a little bit more about the phones that you're trying to buy them for, I know you say universal.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of phone he does have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people just get different phones, you know, practically every year. And I just wanted something that would be...
Yeah, they won't all work for all phones, though. Yeah. That's the problem.
You know what the other option is? You can buy them a gift certificate.
Yeah, right.
For the different sites that are out there, if they do online shopping, or, you know, for going locally to mm-hmm. some of the, you know, the stores like Staples and Office Depot, Best Buy, you know, and let them actually find what they need.
Yeah, That's another way to do it.
Or cash works.
I do like the life proof. It's just because if you dropped it in the water, or if you dropped it and the phone broke, mm-hmm. they replace the phone. That's the warranty, which, believe me, to fulfill all the requirements of the warranty, it took me a little bit of time, but I did. Mm-hmm. I did that.
So you actually tested that part.
Well, I dropped it by, and it...
In a puddle that was 11 feet deep?
They guarantee it around 10 feet, I think. But no, I dropped it not in the water, but I dropped it on the cement, and it didn't do anything. The phone was fine. I'm pretty sure it would not have been fine if I hadn't had that case.
No.
For sure. So there you go, Suzanne. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Carol in Sturgeon Bay, your turn. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a MacBook Pro with the OS X operating system. And starting with April, I keep getting notifications from Google Chrome that my computer will no longer receive updates from them.
That's correct.
Yeah, so, and I also use Safari, but I just Safari doesn't work that well for some reason for us. I don't know why. So I keep going back and using the Chrome even though I'm not receiving updates.
Right.
And I'm wondering if I can do some harm to my computer. Can I open it up to viruses by using Chrome?
How old's your computer?
It's about 2.5 years old. So what happened twice now, I was all of a sudden got a notification from something that was supposedly from Microsoft saying that my computer had a virus, and I don't have a Microsoft product, so I knew it was a scam, but it kind of locked up the computer, and it was really hard for me to get out of it.
Yeah, you just need to shut the computer off.
That's what I did. I couldn't even do that at first. It wouldn't even shut off.
So you're telling me your computer is 2.5 years old, that you bought it brand new 2.5 years ago?
Yes.
Have you ever run any updates on the operating system? It sounds like you have not.
No, I have not.
I would recommend that you do that.
Okay.
Because then you'll be able to update your Chrome and Safari. Because the operating system is outdated, they're not allowing you to make any updates.
Okay, so I just go up to what? I just go up to the little Apple thing up in the left-hand corner?
And then I believe, I forgot the term that they use, but software updates.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the, just when you click on the Apple and then look for updating your machine.
Okay, because I did update it whenever Chrome would tell me to.
Mm-hmm.
Now they tell me to, and I try and do it, and it says you can't.
Right,
do it.
There's a point of where the operating system needs to be updated in order to handle what Google Chrome is trying to push to you.
You probably missed one somewhere.
Right, but you should also, are you using Time Machine to back up your system?
No.
Okay. You should have an external drive on your computer.
Okay.
Buy yourself a Christmas holiday present.
Okay.
And it's very simple. Just buy a hard drive that, matches at least half the space on your hard drive. So I don't know what size hard drive you have in your Mac, but buy an external hard drive. If you can hook it up by FireWire, so look for that option, would be better. It makes it faster. But it can also work by USB, and turn on Time Machine, and it will back up your system on a regular basis. And if you ever have to, you can go back and recover files, and it's very simple and easy to use.
Okay.
And then update your operating system. So at least your data is going to be backed up.
Okay, so don't update it until I go buy an external hard drive?
Yeah, I don't like to update systems unless you've backed up the data files, because if it crashes and there's a problem, then how do you find the data files that were on the machine? It makes it harder.
Okay.
Makes it
do
harder
I have to
do
go like to a Best Buy or something to buy that?
The Staples, Office Depot,
any of them,
Best Buy.
Okay, I live up in Door County, so I got to go to Green Bay then.
Yeah, or you can go online. There are a number of online stores that sell them too.
Oh, that can ship it right to me.
Yep, any of those, buy.com, BUYtiger.com, and newegg.com. They're all. They have the same products out there.
Buy.com or Tiger.com.
Yep.
Or Newegg, N-E-W-E-G-G.
Okay.
Yep.
And
good.
Then it's going to have it's going to tell me how to do this with the FireWire or the...
Well, you can look for that see if it has FireWire. It's going to be a little faster, but it's not absolutely necessary. But all of them run with USB.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Harold in Superior. Hi there.
Well, hello. Hi. Good afternoon. We just purchased a Samsung Chromebook on this Black Friday deal. It's an 11.3-inch screen, and I don't remember the exact model number on it. It's kind of long. But $122 with Windows 10 installed, and I just couldn't be more thrilled. I have a tablet, a Samsung tablet, that cost a whole bunch more, and I think I like the Chromebook better. For one, it has the attached keyboard, which I'm a keyboard type of person, and it's very thin, lightweight, very easy setup. Didn't even come with any documents, not a scrap of paper, which is strange. And
so you said it's running Windows 10 and it's $122?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Oh, it is. I went to Walmart and lo and behold, I thought they'd all be gone. They had a whole aisle full of them. Well, not a whole aisle, but they had dozens.
They had a lot of them.
And,
wow.
That was later in the day. It has a USB port, which I don't have on my tablet, plus a micro SD slot. And they plan to, interestingly, I was reading online, they plan to make it fully Android compatible in the future. So they're moving in that direction with their Chromebook. Operating system. I also picked up a Bluetooth mouse, laser mouse. It's an HP, and that was $24. I think they're $21 online, but and you might pay shipping. And
so you got yourself a pretty good deal for not a whole lot of money there. That's a nice little Christmas gift for yourself, Harold. And doggone it, we're out of time. Unfortunately, that was a Chromebook. Oh, man. Pete, it's always a pleasure. Lots of good calls. And
yeah, it's always great. And I love the fact that when people listen to the show and they hear something that we haven't covered, that action tech thing where you can hook up I have one of those. So remind me to hook it up.
Peter Green of Infostar.com. He'll be back, and we will do this again with him. It's always fun to have him along, and certainly we will do it again with him. With the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor coming, we talk with the editor of a new book. It's a really cool book about spies, codebreakers, and covert operations of World War II. That's tomorrow, so hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, though, geez, stay with us. We've got lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. And thank you so much for listening.